special.
Fellas. Made with creamy butter. Yeah.
And you know what that means?
It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for coming to our show. I'm going to pull my underwear out of my butt while they're tuning. Okay. Here we go. Want to get it all behind me. You know what? Everything reminds me. I can be my.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another B-side episode of MediaMonarchy.com. That was Nico Case with a live version of Set Out Runnin'. Early in the morning here in Portland, Oregon, at the Portland Radio Authority, PRA Radio. This is Media Monarchy, your source for all the news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Here's the deal. Sometimes there's too much to cram into the main show, so we squeeze it in here, so we're going to bust out a B-side. Nico Case really sets the tone and sets the stage. The first article we're going to hit is on Food World Order, one of my news sites, and we'll get to the other, cyberspace war, in just a moment. But here on foodworldorder.com, I'm so stoked and happy and proud to be able to try and share this article published in the Washington Post, written by a good friend of mine from back east, Danielle Cease Blaineban, and spent many, 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 many hours together along with some other folks making music, videos, and media. Now, what I never understood at the time, either through my own carelessness or ignorance, she goes into and explains in heartbreaking detail in this article, and it's called Running for My Life. And I'm not going to read any of it. It's meant to kind of be taken as a whole. And essentially, running, an exercise, helped shake a deep, dark depression that she had gone through for most of her life. Not the psychotropic SSRI Big Pharma drugs. Drugs didn't cure depression, exercise did. That's what it's posted up under on foodworldorder.com. So again, please get this article, please share it. The other bit on foodworldorder.com isn't nearly as serious. Fast food mind control. Ice cream and burgers go to your head. This from Reuters. It's official. That tub of ice cream really can control your brain and say, eat me. A U.S. study by UT Southwestern Medical Center at Dallas has found that fat from certain foods such as ice cream and burgers heads to the brain. Once there, the fat molecules trigger the brain to send messages to the body's cells, warning them to ignore the appetite-suppressing signals from leptin and insulin, hormones involved in weight regulation. And this all lasts for up to 3 days. Quote, normally our body is primed to say when we've had enough, but that doesn't always happen when we're eating something good, said researcher Deborah Clegg in a statement. The study was performed on poor little rats and mice. But the scientists say their results, published in the Journal of Clinical Investigation, reinforced common dietary recommendations to limit saturated fat intake as it causes you to eat more. All the pertinent links in there for you, as I try and always do if we're talking about research, if we're talking about a study. I found the study linked over on JCI.org, Journal of Clinical Investigation. And you can see the full text of this research, Fast Food Mind Control. And if only everything were as seemingly silly as that. But that's not the case. We've been tracking from the very beginning this latest salvo in the bio wars. When the swine flu broke out earlier this year, right around the time Air Force One was cruising around Manhattan, and it builds and it grows and it gets more frightening. So, back on MediaMonarchy.com, BioWars, swine flu updates, tracking bracelets, super bugs, and more. We're going to listen to a quick clip, obviously from some conference. Its source, I'm not exactly sure, but we'll get to the background after we listen to this. Plans for an RFID bracelet for you after you get your swine flu vaccine.
Unfortunately, I believe one among several plans to ensure the government's edict of mandated vaccinations, and by the way, the state of Oklahoma last week passed through its house just such a law for the state of Oklahoma and its residents that everyone will be vaccinated in the state of Oklahoma. Now, having said that, there are also plans that will ensure that you do not freely travel, nor will you be able to really go anywhere without proof that you have had the vaccination at the point that the government mandates that certain levels of the population take the inoculation. When that happens, I have been told by state troopers across the country that there are plans ready to be implemented that would include roadblocks and choke points, as we call them, major interstate junctions, around major cities and so forth, where the greatest number of people can be held until they are either, they either prove their vaccination by papers, or in the case of a medical specialist in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who told me that they had observed a semi-tractor trailer being unloaded at the hospital loading dock, pallets and pallets, scores of cases of metal bracelets that once put on would slip into a place and be either pegged in there with some kind of device to hold it in place, but the band was meant to be permanent. On top is a chip. That chip will include all kinds of information about you and the fact that you have been inoculated.
Now, we can source this back to a Boston Globe report from November 21st, 2008. Boston launches flu shot tracking city to pinpoint areas of low rates of vaccination. Using technology originally developed for mass disasters, Boston disease trackers are embarking on a novel experiment, one of the first in the country, aimed at eventually creating a citywide registry of everyone who has had a flu vaccination. The resulting Vax Map would allow swift intervention in neighborhoods left vulnerable to the fast-moving respiratory illness. The trials start this afternoon, and again, this is from November 21st, 2008, Boston Globe, when several hundred people are expected to queue up for immunizations at the headquarters of the Boston Public Health Commission. Each of them will get a bracelet printed with a unique identifier code. Information about the vaccine's recipients and the shot will be entered into handheld devices similar to those used by delivery truck drivers. Now, just scanning over this, it doesn't look like they out and out say RFID, but you pretty much just there heard it. Unique identifier, radio frequency identification. On down the list, from VacTruth.com, ingredients that are also found in spermicides, cleaners, and cosmetics, along with the regular thimerosal mercury squalene present in experimental H1N1 vaccine. We've got a report from UPI. Girl faces deportation over refusal to take Gardasil. This is important on two fronts. An adopted teen who has lived in the Port St. Joe, Florida, since she was three, faces possible deportation to England for refusing a vaccination, she and her mother say. Simone Davis, 17, said she has no need for the vaccine Gardasil, which guards against the sexually transmitted HPV, because she's not sexually active, ABC News reported. But the U.S. government requires female immigrants between the ages of 11 and 26 to receive Gardasil shots before they can become citizens. Flashback links in there through Media Monarchy, and we've been tracking Gardasil for the last couple of years now. But now to the AFP. Beaches pose superbug risk. The so-called superbug MRSA, MRSA, a multi-resistant strain of staph, effectively, usually found in hospitals, has been discovered for the first time on U.S. beaches, a new study said. The antibiotic-resistant strain, which is increasingly found in prisons, gym locker rooms, and homes, can cause skin conditions and organ ailments and serious and sometimes fatal cases of pneumonia. This is the first report of MRSA from marine water and inertial beach sand, that is, inert. So said Marilyn Roberts, a microbiologist at the University of Washington in Seattle and co-author of the study, this during a press briefing last Saturday. The study was presented at the first day of the 49th Annual InterScience Conference on Antimicrobial Agency and Chemotherapy, ICAAC, which was held in San Fran last weekend. Again, more links in there to the Associated Press, and even Wikipedia, and even ICAAC.org for MRSA superbug. Oh, but there's so much more. From Reuters, U.S. campers developed drug-resistant flu. Two girls given antiviral drugs in an effort to protect children at a summer camp from the new pandemic swine flu developed resistant virus. U.S. health officials reported. The U.S. CDC said the study supports its new recommendations that flu drugs not be given to prevent infection among people who are otherwise healthy. Both girls recovered without becoming seriously ill, but the incident shows that it's easy for the new pandemic H1N1 virus to develop resistance to flu drugs. We are concerned about the appropriate use of antivirals, the CDC's Dr. Ann Schuchat said in an interview. And then there's more. A list of headlines and updates and clips and worse. How about live TV propaganda where a CBS Talking Heads poor little assistant gets her toxic vaccination live on TV.
So Anna Olivera is here.
She's my medical assistant in my office, and she's going to give me the flu shot. And a couple of things that are important for people to know. First of all, it does not contain live virus, so you cannot get the flu from getting the flu shot. It does take for this flu shot to be effective about 2 weeks till you get the antibody protection. She's very good. And it is very, very important, especially for healthcare workers, because traditionally only about 40% of healthcare workers get vaccinated, and we are excellent. We are the vectors of spread for this virus.
Right.
In addition, you don't want your doctor himself or herself to be sick, so very important for healthcare workers. We should strive for close to 100% compliance.
There you go. Anna, did you get your shot yet?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you guys are covered. Very impressed. Way to go. And this is the regular flu shot.
Regular flu shot. You can get your pharmacy, your doctor's office, hospital.
There you go. And we'll talk more about H1N1 when it becomes available next month.
The vectors of spread, indeed. So it was actually the talking head that gets the shot. The assistant was there to implement the shot. As many other cops and firemen and people are being deputized to be able to do, to give you the vaccine. We also have 4 swine flu vaccines cleared in one day, with more on the way. This from Bloomberg. Swine flu vaccines made by AstraZeneca, CSL, Novartis, and Sanofi Aventis were cleared for sale by the U.S. FDA. Sebelius, GlaxoSmithKline, and all your favorites are all involved. Quickly approving vaccines. Big pharma money coming right at your door. You can sign the Universal Declaration of Resistance to Mandatory Vaccines on the petitionsite.com. U.S. government agencies help defend against pandemic outbreak. That's the military, essentially. Training, drilling. From the CBC, Ottawa sends body bags to Manitoba reserves. Aboriginal leaders in Manitoba are horrified that some of the reserves hardest hit by swine flu in the spring have received dozens of body bags from Health Canada. The body bags, which were sent to the remote northern reserves of Wasagamik and God's River First Nation, came in a shipment of hand sanitizers and face masks. Let's just throw in, you know, some body bags for you. Mass swine flu coffins warning, and that is from the Scotsman. Ministers have been urged to have thousands of cardboard coffins ready for mass deaths should swine flu take a turn for the worst. Scottish government guidance was published yesterday, that being September 16th, looking at how to cope with large-scale death from catastrophic events, disease, and, of course, terror. NaturalNews.com goes into why millions of Americans don't need a swine flu vaccine, and I think we already heard that just a little bit ago. Again, police and military train to intern swine flu vaccine refuseniks. That's one from Paul Joseph Watson. And the last bit here on BioWars, swine flu updates, tracking bracelets, superbugs, and more. A video swiped by me and put up to YouTube.com/Media Monarchy. Federal prison under swine flu quarantine in Memphis.
New information tonight on the swine flu in Memphis. It has affected college students, children, and... Now prisoners. The federal prison in East Memphis is under quarantine tonight because of an outbreak of the H1N1 virus. No prisoners are being allowed to leave the facility for court hearings. The U.S. Marshals Service will reassess the situation on Monday. Many of us have questions about the H1N1 virus. That's why the Memphis and Shelby County Health Department has set up a swine flu hotline. Since Saturday, there have been more than 200 calls to the line. Nurses are on hand every day to answer your questions. A lot of those calls are for parents who are worried about their sick children.
Concerned about temperatures and coughs. So, you know, we've been trying to, you know, lay the fears and make them feel more comfortable and also giving them referrals and places they can take their children for help.
And if you have questions, here's the number. It's 379-H1N1. If you want to write down without the alphabet, it's 379-4161. 379-4161. Nurses are answering calls daily from 8 to 8. Once again, 379-4161.
Okay. That's enough of that. Let's now blast off to cyberspacewar.com. U.S. Navy to conduct massive atmospheric experimental tests. This from livescience.com. A rocket experiment set to launch Tuesday, and I believe it did, aims to create artificial clouds at the outermost layers of Earth's atmosphere. The project, called the Charged Aerosol Release Experiment, CARE, plans to trigger cloud formation around the rocket's exhaust particles. The clouds are intended to simulate naturally occurring phenomena called noctilucent clouds, which are the highest clouds in the atmosphere. This is really essentially at the boundary of space, said Wayne Scales, a scientist at Virginia Tech who will use computer models to study the physics of the artificial dust cloud as it's released. Nothing like this has been done before, and that's why everybody's really excited about it. So says you, Wayne. The experiment is the first attempt to create artificial noctilucent clouds. A previous spacecraft called Aeronomy of Ice in the Mesosphere, AIM, launched in 07 to observe the natural clouds from space. Noctilucent means night shining in Latin. My man Guy asked the question on F-Book about this. What is the point of this? And I said, oh, it's to combat global warming, or it's for climate change. I have no idea. But it leads us to what we've talked about before and what we're going to hit again. Geoengineering the atmosphere. We know that the Council on Foreign Relations are involved in pushing this agenda. And, of course, you've heard of chemtrails. I believe Clifford Carnicom was in Portland recently. There's a video of his talk. I'll post a link up to it. So what exactly are they doing? I don't know. Is it good? Probably not. U.S. Navy conducting massive atmospheric experimental tests. The next post on Cyberspace War, DEFCON 917, that's the ugly list of headlines from yesterday, the 17th of September 2009. The moon and malware, the cloud and psyops. First, again from Bloomberg, lawmakers criticize Obama's space panel for dissing the moon plan. Are we going to go to the moon? Go back to the moon? No, I don't think we are. Do we have the money? Oh, I don't know. Does it even matter? As I've said before, quoting David Cross, like, how about we put a man in an apartment? How about that? Pressure builds on Obama to appoint cybersecurity coordinator. I've been hitting him with these headlines week after week as the excitement builds as to who it's going to be for the big cybercom. And can they pass the Cybersecurity Act to give, essentially, the commander-in-chief the on-off switch to your web? UK police encouraged to hack more. That's from the BBC, and that follows again along with all the other things we've seen. Fight the net. all the military white papers say the web is an enemy weapons system. Melissa Hathaway, who left the White House, has a new interview on net-security.org. We've noted before, here it is again, now from the Washington Times, the White House is collecting web users' data without notice on all their social network sites. That isn't really a surprise. Shouldn't be. We know some of their social networking sites have been hacked. As that seems to be a meme of Obama era, it is the cyberspace war. We're rushing headlong into it. And all along, it's been hacked things and passports looked at and the BlackBerry and all of this stuff that I can't even pull off the top of my head. This is the meme that we've been tracking, and this is the kind of thing that made me want to launch cyberspacewar.com. But I digress. We're going to get more into the cloud in just a few minutes, but let's listen to a quick report from KCBS about cloud computing for the government.
Thank you so much.
Vivek Kundra, President Obama's chief information officer, says the government's been taking an old-fashioned approach to technology.
We've been building data center after data center, and frankly, what that's done is it's driven the cost and investments in technology across the board.
Which is why he's announcing a new initiative to move government computers into cloud computing. So what's cloud computing? Kundra says it's basically servicing multiple computer networks more cheaply over the internet.
Why should the government pay and build infrastructure that may be available for free?
Google is supporting the government's effort. Co-founder Sergey Brin says the bigger the organization, the better suited it is to cloud computing.
Our experience to scale with hundreds of millions of users of all our various services will be able to meet the needs of the millions of U.S. government workers very cost effectively.
Right now, Uncle Sam is spending roughly $76 billion a year on IT. In Mountain View, Matt Bigler, KCBS.
Google supporting the government? Really? What a surprise. I wonder if it's the other way around, too. Internet security software company says 9/11 searches were infected with malware. That goes to Infowars.com, and I'm not sure what it sources back to. Oh, it comes from Trend Micro, an antivirus software company. They warned on their blog on the 8th anniversary last week of 9/11 that Google searches for the term September 11th led to rogue malware, malicious software. Intel agencies plan to beef up cybersecurity, again from Federal Computer Week. U.S. Special Ops make PSYOP websites targeted at U.K. This coming from theregister.co.uk. The secretive U.S. Special Operations Command, SOCOM. You might know that from a video game or some Tom Clancy blank. SOCOM has awarded Arms Global Corp General Dynamics, our friends behind all kinds of international arms and slave drug trafficking. General Dynamics got a $10 million contract to set up a network of psychological warfare, quote, influence websites supporting the global war of terror. France and Britain are specifically included as targeted regions. SOCOM is primarily famous for its large contingents of elite secret ops from all four U.S. armed services. What's less well known about the organization is that it also includes the U.S. Forces' active psychological warfare apparatus. There's a PDF that you can pull down from the 4th Airborne of Psychological Operations Group, the only full-time Psy War unit in the U.S. Army. Fight the net, indeed. The last note here on this DEFCON rundown from the Associated Press, France approves internet piracy bill. This will now allow the authorities to cut the web to people who download stuff illegally. The last post on cyberspacewar.com from my man James Corbett at corbettreport.com. Some thoughts on losing the internet. what online activists should do to prepare for worst-case scenario. Yesterday morning, my worst nightmare was realized. I turned on my computer, opened my internet browser, and nothing happened. Then, after an excruciatingly long time in which nothing stubbornly continued to happen, something bad happened. An error message popped up to tell me that the connection to the server at CorberReport.com could not be found. In the 2 years he's been running the site, he's never been unable to connect to the server before. Thinking it might have been a server problem with the web host, tried to check YouTube, email, even so desperate he tried CNN. Each time, the same error. Server not found. His internet connection was down. He goes on through the anguish that we have all felt when that happens. He also throws a much appreciated reference to MediaMonarchy.com. And again, I implore you to read this entire article, but I'm trying to move quickly, and what I want to get to, the best part of this, and the part you need to most think about, are some steps, essentially, to save things, to archive things. I do a lot of these things myself, like saving all your files locally. This may seem like an obvious idea, but it bears repeating and repeating, especially as we move into an era of cloud computing. If you need a copy of a document that you've created, you should never assume you'll always have access to it through the net, even on your own website. Save a copy on your hard drive, external drive, CD, DVD, or somewhere where you'll always have access to it. Download all important info. When you see an important news story, download an HTML copy to your hard drive. I do a print PDF of every article I post or link to Media Monarchy or Food World Order or Cyberspace War. It's easy to do, only takes a few seconds, and you can save something from going down the memory hole. As you've heard me mention before, when a breaking news story happens, especially when it's going to be one of high profile, as again, if you're a news junkie, you can tell immediately when it's some massive event, do screenshots, save PDFs, save the HTML, whatever's easiest and best for you, but do it. You can also get Download Helper for Firefox, assuming you're using Firefox, assuming you're even a web person at all. Maybe you're not, and maybe none of this matters to you as you're listening, but it does. What the web gives us and has sort of reshifted things, and again, as we're still in the middle, in the eye of the storm of all these massive, massive changes, it's tough to have the perspective on it. But we don't want to look back and say, oh my God, I could have been saving all that stuff. The last note of importance is to build up your offline network. As great as the internet is, it's only a tool for connecting people. If you spend as much time building up contacts offline as you do online, even just swapping phone numbers with important contacts, then you can help to mitigate the effect of an internet outage. Besides, your mom was right. It's a beautiful day outside, and sometimes you just need to take a break and get some fresh air. A great article from my man James Corbett. We now also have his latest episode. It's number 98. Weaponized psychology. He looked at the other C word back in episode 50 of Corbett Report, that C word being conspiracy. But this episode looks at the other C word, crazy. Who gets to call who crazy, and what does all that mean? Is it crazy to want to know what the 9/11 whistleblowers are talking about? Is it crazy to believe that powerful people never act behind the scenes to further their own political agenda? Episode 98, Weaponized Psychology, goes into it in great detail. And it even reminded me, contains portions from the fantastic Adam Curtis documentary, The Trap, which I highly recommend. Posted up along with this, episode 98 of Corbett Report, is his latest Economics 101 video. This time, a nice sit-down with Michelle Chosudovsky on the bankster bailouts. One note that I will throw out, James and I have been chatting back and forth about trying a little video report idea. That's all I'll say. We're working on it. Expanding our horizons, making connections, getting information out. Back on MediaMonarchy.com, we'll run down the list of headlines on media memes, rude boys, obituaries, and on-air profanity. The first couple of articles relate to all these outbursts. What's with all these public outbursts? I believe I started to go into several months ago as things seemingly were deteriorating at quite an alarming rate with the econo crash and everything else and the seeming sort of murder mayhem contagion that we've seen over the last 6 to 8 months. The general rising of the levels of tension with everyone. Rude nation, America ponders loss of public civility. That's from the Deutsche Press Agency, and what's with all the public outbursts comes from the Los Angeles Times. And of course it goes into Serena Williams screaming at the ball girl, losing the game. Joe Wilson yelling "you lie" at Obama. Kanye West interrupting Taylor Swift on the VMAs. Again, what I try and do with the site is track the memes, do the data mining, see what's going on and try and connect some dots. I may not have the answers, but I can say, hey, have you noticed that this, this, and this are all going on at the same time? It makes for good, you know, when you're at work and you can't have long, extensive conversations about these things. Dropping the truth bombs, planting seeds. Before I had even seen these articles, I found quite interesting that the Joe Wilson event and the Kanye event and then Obama off the record, and that's a whole other story. It got leaked off the record from some interview. Obama called Kanye a jackass, and on and on and on. I digress. Continuing quickly. NationalExpositor.com goes into the latest album from Megadeth, and it's called Endgame. Titled that in reference to Alex Jones's documentary about the eugenics agenda called Endgame. Now, I believe the article says, you know, Megadeth awakens to the New World Order, but of course, if you're knowing anything about those guys, it's kind of always been fairly anti-authoritarian. Kind of futuristic, dystopian. I don't like the music, but they didn't just awaken. Maybe we've now come around to what they and other folks have known for a long, long time. George Soros and the parallel anti-war media movement. Alex Constantine going into the foundation-funded left. Gatekeepers. Mark Foley, you remember him? Pedophile page scandal, former Congressman Mark Foley. According to the LA Times, unfortunately, he now returns as a radio host. As if we needed that. Jay-Z has broken the Elvis album record, and I believe that's for a solo artist, number one albums. That's kind of a big thing. That's kind of a fin de siècle kind of thing. That's an end of an era, a new dawn, if you will. You can discuss that amongst yourselves later. Mary Travers of Peter, Paul, and Mary has passed away from leukemia at the age of 72. Patrick Swayze has passed away at the age of 57. Naturalnews.com points out that it was after massive chemo for pancreatic cancer. Excuse me. But we do have a whole swath of articles from Los Angeles Times and Time Magazine and Natural News. Freemasons awaiting the lost symbol from Dan Brown. If you buy into any of that misdirection, occult, pop occulture, And the last note here on media memes, I said it was rude boys, obituaries, and on-air profanity. Well, here it is.
We can relax. It's just tough man to make a tender forecast, Nick. Keep fucking that chicken. Simple has found lots of readers. The new book by the author of The Da Vinci Code is a smash. The story is next in tonight's business report.
Okay, okay. But of course, another Da Vinci Code reference. Did you catch that? For whatever reason, some news anchor named Ernie Anastos says, keep fucking that chicken. Here it is again.
We can relax. It's a tough man to make a tender forecast, Nick. Keep fucking that chicken.
No idea. But there it is, and of course Media Monarchy has always brought you the best and latest in on-air profanity. The last thing on this B-Side 140 from MediaMonarchy.com, it's the 9/17 News Purge, Murder Mayhem, War Horrors, and West Virginia Worry. First on the Murder Mayhem, police find more bones at the home of kidnapped suspect Philip Garrido, of course, where J.C. Lee Dugard was recently discovered, and all that sort of kidnapping, ritual, sexual, mind control abuse. Again, Alex Constantine is a great source to go into that murky world. Police arrested a guy named Raymond Clark in the murder of Annie Lee. His bail is set at $3 million. More video, audio, LA Times, and more for that. Interestingly, from CBS News, and actually this is just about a month old, so it's from August 19th, 2009, pedophile suspect lured and then beaten by victim's family. This falls under CBS News' Crime Cider. Exactly what that name means, Crime Cider, I'm not sure. CBS siding with crime. But I imagine we're going to see people taking the law into their own hands, as we're going to see lots of other things as our fabric starts to break down. John Allen Muhammad, the Washington sniper, the D.C. sniper, the Beltway sniper, set to be executed this November. Notes on the International War Horrors, an elite soldier's tell-all book has been deemed unpublishable because it compromises national security. And several articles on the quote-unquote combat enablers, which I believe we hit last week, but it still keeps spilling out. It's from the Army Times. More combat enablers, Afghan-bound, from antiwar.com. U.S. to pump thousands of combat enablers into Afghanistan. And this morning from the Washington Post, or rather yesterday, the 17th, Robert Gates to boost enablers in the Afghan surge. Something I just saw this morning and haven't even watched the clip, let alone edit it and try to play it. Author John Ronson, sometimes friend to alternative news and research, but sometimes a front and a shill. Author of Them, I believe it's called Them or They, and The Men Who Stared at Goats. That's what John Ronson and Stephen Colbert discuss with remote viewing. They get into all of it, but again, to poo-poo it and say it's silly and stupid and doesn't really exist. However, we can all agree, as they join, to say that we should weaponize love and not torture. Northrop Grumman chairman to step down. This from the Los Angeles Times. Ronald D. Sugar, who's also chief executive, will leave his post by the end of the year. He'll be replaced by Wesley G. Bush, the defense contractor's president and chief operating officer. Northrop Grumman, our friends in the military-industrial complex. Military offers a path to citizenship. We've hit that story 100 different times from 100 different places, beefing up the numbers with essentially felons and gangbangers and lots of hateful people. Perhaps a broad generalization, but there it is. A video from the BBC has a military robot hopping over walls. And the last few notes here on West Virginia worry. Some guy tried to impersonate the governor of West Virginia, Joe Manchin, to try and steal some info. We've got reports from the News of the Weird, from clicktohouston.com, but more from examiner.com. Bad grammar and spelling. It tripped up a man who was trying to steal Social Security numbers and other info from job seekers by impersonating West Virginia's governor. Matthew Don Reed of Hinton, West Virginia, is being held on $10,000 bond on charges of impersonating a public official, impersonating a state Division of Natural Resources officer, and forgery of a public document. A call to the 32-year-old's attorney was not immediately returned. The last note, again, from examiner.com. West Virginia, yesterday, September 17th, celebrated Constitution Day at WVU with case analysis. Yes, that's right, yesterday was Constitution Day. Not that it got any mention in the media. One last thing I do want to mention, not posted up on the page, it just kind of snuck up on me, but today, my friends, is National Parking Day. So here in Portland, Oregon, people are organizing for Parking Day in Portland. Another reason to just leave your cars somewhere else. On September 19th, hey, that's tomorrow. Well, I don't know which day it is and which part is a typo, but I think it's today. They just have their date wrong. Today is the 18th, not the 19th. God, there's lots of typos everywhere. I can really spot them. If I have to get some kind of new job, I would be a good proofreader because I see typos all over the place, in print, on the web, everywhere, because everybody's rushing to just get their stuff online. Again, I digress. Basically, what National Parking Day is where you put the money into the meter and take over your parking spot and do whatever you want with it. Set up a bed, set up an art show, set up AstroTurf, anything you want to do. Create your own space and take back the streets. Not sure I'm going to have time for that, but I know other friends in other cities around the country that have made reference to a parking day. Again, just something simple that you can do to, as Jello Biafra would say, monkey wrench the New World Order. Plus, it's fun to piss off people who drive. I hate cars. Not sure if we've ever gone into that. Hate cars. Never owned one. Never will. I have a license. I know how to drive. I'm an excellent driver. But they're a waste, and they run on terror juice. So we're going to get it out of here for this B-side at 140 of MediaMonarchy.com. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the sites and the show, MediaMonarchy.com. So we'll end it as we began it, and of course, as we ended with hating cars, it all makes sense. We started off with Nico Case, Set Out Running, reference the amazing article from my good friend Danielle Cease in the Washington Post, Running for My Life. So that's how we'll go out with some band I've heard a lot about. They have some video game or something. Run for Your Life.
Well, I'd rather see you dead, little girl, than to be with another man. You better keep your head, little girl, I don't know where I am. You better run for your life if you can, little girl. Hide your head in the sand, little girl. Catch you with another man, that's the end, little girl. Guy, and I was born with a jealous mind, and I can't spend my whole life trying just to make you toe the line. You better run for your life if you can, little girl. Hide your head in the sand, little girl. Catch you with another man, that's the end, little girl. Thank you. I said, baby, I'm determined and I'd rather see you dead. You better run for your life if you can, little girl. Hide your head in the sand, little girl. I catch you with another man, that's the end, little girl. I'd rather see you dead, little girl, than to be with another man. You better keep your head, little girl, or you won't know where I am. You better run for your life if you can, little girl. Hide your head in the sand, little girl. Catch you with another man, that's the end, little girl.
How would you explain it?
Combining music and stylized images.
I mean, it's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Say out on my breath.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
Yo. This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.